words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 2, verses 39 to 52. It is page 90 in the New Testament. The words given to us are Luke chapter 2, verses 39 to 52. I will read the words. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who had heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Amen. Mary and Joseph visited the Temple of Jerusalem in order to go through the ceremony of redemption, in which the firstborn son is dedicated to God, and for ceremony of purification for Mary. There were two persons at the Temple of Jerusalem who recognized baby Jesus. They were Simeon and Anna. Simeon held baby Jesus and sang that the baby was a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And Anna thanked God who had walked with her for a long time and talked about baby Jesus to people who had been waiting for the redemption of Israel. As for what happened afterwards, verse 39 of today's verse testifies as follows. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. So the verse says very simply that after Joseph and Mary done everything required by the law, they went back to Nazareth of Galilee after completing these riots. But what's underneath it is not so simple. There were two big happenings before Jesus returned to Nazareth. It's recorded in detail in the second chapter of Matthew. The first is the visit by the wise men of the East of baby Jesus. They brought gold, incense, and frankincense to baby Jesus, worshipped him, and returned home. It is not clear why Luke did not record his visit by the wise men of East. Perhaps he did not know about it, or maybe it was because Matthew had already recorded it in his story of Jesus. Anyway, because these two recorded different stories, we are able to know more about Jesus. One, no one knows exactly who these wise men were. But it is clear that they belong to the upper class of the society. On the other hand, the shepherds who were the first to visit Jesus belonged, at the time, the lowest class of the society of the time. So we meet Jesus, who accepts us, irrespective of our status or wealth or lack thereof. The other event, which is not recorded, is that Jesus had lived in Egypt for a month. When the wise men of the East followed the stars to find their way to the place of birth of Jesus and arrived at Jerusalem, they went to the palace. They thought naturally that a person who is born as a king would be at the palace. A big ruckus took place at the palace as a result. The wise men left the palace, followed the star that had led them, found Jesus, worshipped him, and returned home. But King Herod ordered that all children under the age of 2 be killed, so that Bethlehem and the neighboring areas became a sea of mourning. At that time, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to Egypt, lived there for a while, and returned to Nazareth under the guidance of the angel who informed them that King Herod had died. So verse 39 compresses several years in the life of Jesus into a single verse. Likewise, when we evaluate a person, we sometimes sum them up in a single line. But of course, his or her life does not consist of a single line. If, for example, a person goes away to a foreign country to get a degree in 5 years, this would appear as a single line in his or her resume. But how could a single line say everything about that 5 years spent by the person? That one line would contain within it the flustered moments when at the beginning the person could not understand what others were saying and couldn't communicate his thoughts properly. Moments when the person struggled with assignments that seemed impossible to finish, even if all-nighters were pulled. Moments when the person had to split time between study and work because he or she didn't have enough economic support. And moments when nights were spent without sleep in agonizing over whether the study should be continued because the person felt the limits of his or her abilities. And if a person goes to work overseas for 5 years to work at a place where there are no Korean co-workers and English is not spoken, this job experience would be written down in a single line. But how could that one line stand for everything about that period? The line would, of course, include a testimony to the fact that he was able to complete the job, but it would also contain flustered moments suffered because of cultural differences and difficult times one had in missing home. In this way, each of us has a resume of life. No one has an identical resume. And the fact that they're all different testifies to the fact that each of us is unique. The way a person currently is could be said to be his or her history. There could be negative things or positive things that make up that history. But all these things together make up a life of a person. That we respect another person means we respect the history of that person's life. That God has allowed each of us to experience a different life. And God works through such different experiences. Among the four Gospels, Matthew and Luke testify about the birth of Jesus. But only the Gospel of Luke tells us about young Jesus. This is today's text. Verse 41 says the following. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. God decreed that people of Israel should go to the Temple of Jerusalem three times a year, at Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of the Tabernacles. For people living nearby Jerusalem, it was possible to keep this commandment. But for people who were living far away, this was not an easy task. In particular, for Jewish people who were living abroad after Israelites were taken away as captives of Babylon, it was nearly impossible. If Korean Christians who were living abroad had to come and pay their respects at Yangwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery, a place which could be said to be the starting point of the Korean Protestant Church three times a year, it would be nearly impossible. So for Jewish people living abroad, they went to the temple at least once during their lifetime. And people who lived in Israel went to the temple at least once a year, even if they couldn't go all three times. And for most, they tried to go for the Passover. The verse tells us that Mary and Joseph also went to the temple each year during the Passover. The distance between Nazareth, where Mary and Joseph lived, and Jerusalem is at least 146 kilometers in distance. It's not easy to walk that distance each year. Mary and Joseph were not only very ordinary people, but they were also poor. But despite that, they kept to the words of the God. In order for them to have gone up to the temple each year, they would have had to save up little by little all through the year. Rather than reading through the Bible 3 days straight and not reading a single verse during the year, it is more difficult and better to read several chapters daily. And rather than fasting for 40 days three times and never praying, it is better to continuously pray every day, even for 5 or 10 minutes, throughout one's life. It testifies to a better faith. And the verse 42 says this, when he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. The Jewish people undergo a ceremony to mark the entrance of adulthood at the age of 13. In Hebrew, it's called Bar Mitzvah, and it means the son of the law. Now, Jewish kids who go through Bar Mitzvah have the duty to keep all of God's commandments. Before going through this ceremony, the father has the primary responsibility. When a child breaks the law. But after the ceremony, the child becomes wholly responsible. Therefore, the child can attend religious festivals alone, can read the Bible as the representative of the people at the synagogues, and can pray. It is thought that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple for his education before his bar mitzvah. But a problem occurred on their way back from the festival. Verses 43 to 44 testify as follows. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Now Jesus disappeared. What happened in the movie Home Alone, released in year 2000, had happened. But Mary and Joseph did not realize right away that Jesus couldn't be found. They realized it after a day's journey. At the time when Israelites journeyed to Jerusalem and back for a festival, they moved as a group with family and relatives in big groups. Women and children walked more slowly, so they started out first, followed by adult men. At the time, Jesus was 12 years old, an age where it was not clear in which group he belonged. So Mary and Joseph probably thought that Jesus was with the other group and not with the group he or she was traveling with. During the Passover at the time, Jerusalem was filled not only with people from Israel, but with pilgrims from different nations. It was a kind of a miracle, even to the people living back then, that all those people could stay at Jerusalem together during the Passover. Because it was so crowded with people, Mary and Joseph probably thought that, of course, Jesus was okay somewhere, but they ended up losing Jesus. So Mary and Joseph began to look for Jesus. Verses 44 to 45 testify as follows. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. During a holiday, when a child suddenly is out of sight at an amusement park filled with people, you think he or she must be nearby somewhere and look for the child. And when the child continues to be missing, you're suddenly overwhelmed with all kinds of worrisome thoughts. You begin to call out the child's name. And when the child still can't be found, you kind of lose your mind. Mary and Joseph thought that Jesus would be with the group returning home. When they arrived at a campsite at night, they realized that Jesus was missing. They assumed that he would be with the relatives or people from their hometown. But he was still missing. They traveled back the road they had come, looking for their son, Jesus. The verb to look for originally means searching person by person. They did this search for 3 days and found Jesus they had been so looking for at the temple, the place from which they had begun their journey home. Verses 46 to 47 continue to testify as follows. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus, whom they met 3 days later at the temple, was in discussion with many teachers, asking questions and answering was a main method of teaching at the time. When parents lose a child in the middle of a crowd, there is only one thought, to find a child. But once the child is found, after a while, the parents start to get really mad. They may scold, "How many times did I tell you to follow me closely?" And may give a child a little knock on the head. But these are actually all expressions of relief. When seeing Jesus talking with the teachers at the temple, Mary and Joseph probably sighed a deep sigh of relief, but at the same time, they must have been speechless at seeing how Jesus was talking and carrying on with the teachers as if nothing was wrong, while they had been searching for him like crazy persons. So Mary said this. This is from verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Mary saw his son talking with many teachers, but the mood must have been such that she could not burst into their conversation. So she seems to have waited until the end. And actually, Mary must have been really mad. But they did not scold him publicly before other people. And Mary did not give away to emotions and spoke to Jesus calmly. And Jesus answered as follows. This is from verse 49. "But why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. These are the first words of Jesus recorded in the Bible. Mary says she and Joseph, his father, had been looking for their son, Jesus. But Jesus knew precisely who his true parents were. At the time, it was difficult to imagine Jewish people calling God as Father. When the scribes read Bible out aloud, when the word Jehovah, the name of God, was written, they could not say it aloud, so they instead read Adonai, meaning my Lord, or simply looked up at the sky. This is how high Jewish people thought of God, as a being that a human being can never come too close. But Jesus called God my Father. Jesus knew that on the surface, he was the son of Joseph and Mary, but in reality, he was the son of God. He knew this very well. And Jesus knew precisely where he should be. That place was the house of my father. That he was at the house of his father meant that the God the Father and the words of God the Father and what God was doing was about him and what he was to do in the future. Each year, a memorial service for Bethel Buddhist journalist is held at Yangwanjun Park. 3 years ago, after the first part of the memorial program, there was a concert as a second part of the program. They invited a female singer, perhaps as an icebreaker, before she sang, proposed that everyone greet people sitting next to him or her by saying, "Glad you've come." When people finished greeting each other this way, she proposed that the people greet one another by saying, "I had no other place to go." The audience who were sitting just broke into a loud laughter, but suddenly a deep feeling welled inside of me. Those words felt like the words that Christians should etch deeply into their hearts. So when praying for a prayer meeting or for worship in the chapel, I sometimes start the prayer by saying this: God, I come before you as I have no other place to go. Now, David went through a lot of hardship during his life. He wasn't cared for deeply by his parents. And after he married, he did not receive a deep understanding from his wife. He witnessed the things happening among his children that should not have happened. Furthermore, he even had to run away because his child pulled a coup d'etat on him. But through all this, David learned to trust only God. He understood to the depth of his being that it is God who leads him to green pastures and still waters, who restores his soul, who makes him walk in the path of righteousness, not his throne, not his fame, or his wealth. Moreover, he confirmed how it is God who leads him through the deep valleys when nothing can be seen ahead. What a great comfort God's staff and his rod are when he felt powerless to do anything. And so David confessed like this. This is from Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David too confesses that there is no place for him to go except to the house of God the Father. There is no one who is more blessed than the person who entrusts himself or herself to God and walks with him all the days of his or her life. Today's text tells us that even for the Lord who came to earth to deliver us, there was a process of growing up. Not only did he go to the temple to keep the Passover when he became 12, but in verses 40 and 52 also tell us about the growth and maturing of Jesus. This reminds us once again that our life and faith is not made up of separate dots, but a continuous line. Our life journey is to be a journey of faith. That we live in faith means that our faith and our daily life is not separated. But we live each day as a child of God and cultivate places where we live as the house of God where God dwells. During Tuesday of the past week, there was a baby baptism. Parents write a confession of faith before the baptism on behalf of their babies. In the confession, the parents confess their faith, as well as their resolution, to bring up their children as children of God. The core of the parents' confession is that God is the Father to both the parents and the child. And the core of the parents' resolution regarding bringing up of their children is that they will help the child to walk with God during his or her life. In other words, the parents are resolving to make the faith of their children a line rather than dots. The The Lord is already present within us, and He is embracing us in His words. Clothed with this grace, if we make our life a house of God, where God dwells every day, the line made up by our lives and faith would continue into the line that is connected to the line of eternal life. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for reminding us once again that our lives and faith are not dots, but lines. It was not the case that Jesus, who came to earth one day, suddenly started his public ministry, died for us on the cross, lived again, and thereby gave us eternal life. Rather, he was born as a baby and went through the same life stages that we go through. Through that process of maturing, by knowing clearly who he is and where he should be, he confirmed his identity as Christ. We too, as we live, go through small and big events. Through all this process, may there be growth and maturing. May our faith become deeper and wider. Help us to abandon the illusion and arrogance that comes from misunderstanding our faith as being dots rather than lines and twisting them, so that we serve and live as God's children only during certain moments and live as we please and as we want during other times. We desire that our lives may become the path of faith, so that we will become more and more lovely in the same way the Lord had before God and before people. Father, after the terror that took place on November 13th in Paris, France, we are seeing more and more clashes between civilizations, confrontations between one culture and another. We see how religions that should embrace others and be a peacemakers are becoming troublemakers. Help us to remember that terror and wars can never bring peace, that rather than solving problems, they will bring more problems. Help us to remember the Lord's command to put your sword back in its place. We pray that you would cause all to obey the Lord's command to live in peace with everyone. It feels like asking for a miracle that can never happen, but Lord, give us a miracle. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.